A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's got me thinking about something that's been quietly true for years. You know that $8 paint marker from the hardware store that dries out after one project? The industrial equivalent is often $6 and lasts months. And here's the thing. You don't need a contractor's license to buy it. The question is, what actually distinguishes an industrial supply store from a generalist hardware store? And why don't more consumers shop there? Is it just contractors? Because the observation is, much like restaurant supply stores selling better gear than kitchen boutiques at the same prices, it's one of those things where you can get better stuff for the same money if you know where to look. But most people don't think of them.
That $8 marker that dried out, I know exactly which one you're talking about. I found its industrial cousin for half the price, but to understand why, we need to talk about how these two worlds actually work.
Let's do it.
What are we even talking about when we say industrial supply store? The category includes Grainger, which operates over 300 branches in the U alone, McMaster Car, Fastenal, MSC, Industrial. Then you've got the adjacent world, restaurant supply stores, automotive tool supply houses. These are not the same thing as walking into Home Depot or Lowe's or Ace Hardware.
The distinction isn't just vibes.
Not at all. The core thesis here is that these stores operate on a fundamentally different economic model. They serve businesses that value reliability over price. And paradoxically, that means they often sell better products at lower margins per unit. I've been buying 3M6926 respirator cartridges from an industrial supplier. At Grainger, they're $18 a pair, $29. And the shelf life is actually longer from the industrial supplier because their inventory turnover is higher. These things aren't sitting on a shelf for 2 years.
40% less for the exact same thing. That's not a rounding error.
That's the respirator I use. It's not hypothetical. So the question becomes, why would a consumer even think to go there? And the answer is, most don't. But they should.
There's a psychological barrier, right? Industrial supply sounds like something that requires a hard hat and a purchase order.
Which is one of the big misconceptions. Most industrial supply stores will sell to anyone with a credit card. Grainger has a will call counter you can walk into. McMaster Car ships same day on orders placed by 7 p.m. Eastern with no minimum order quantity. You don't need a business license. You don't need a tax ID. You just need to know they exist.
Like adopting a feral cat. It's available, but nobody tells you.
So let's start with the economics. Why does an industrial supplier sell a better product for less money? The answer is in the margin structure.
Walk me through it.
Industrial suppliers operate on thin margins, typically 2 to 5%, but with high volume and repeat contracts. They're selling to a factory that needs 500 pairs of gloves every month for the next decade. They don't need to make a killing on each pair. Hardware stores operate on 30 to 50% margins on consumables because they compete on convenience, not quality. The Saturday afternoon project buyer needs one pair of gloves right now, and they'll pay whatever the shelf tag says.
The hardware store is essentially a convenience store for home improvement.
That's exactly the mental model. And convenience stores charge convenience store prices. The difference is, when you're buying a candy bar at a gas station, you know you're paying a premium for location. With hardware stores, people assume they're getting the definitive version of the product. They're not.
The product selection reflects that.
An industrial supplier will stock multiple grades of the same item. Take work gloves. They'll carry 12 types, broken down by material, cut resistance, abrasion rating, whether they're coated or uncoated. A hardware store stocks one or two options, and they're usually the cheapest that meet minimum safety standards. The industrial buyer needs gloves that won't fail after 100 hours of use. The hardware store buyer needs gloves for a weekend of yard work. Those are different products.
Even when they look the same on the peg.
Especially when they look the same. That's where the restaurant supply store analogy really lands. A $50 commercial chef's knife from a restaurant supply store will outperform a $100 quote-unquote professional knife from Williams-Sonoma. Because the commercial version is designed for 8 hours of daily use in a kitchen that does 300 covers a night. The consumer version is designed to look impressive in a knife block and get used twice a week.
The consumer knife is the glockenspiel of corporate approachability.
I don't even know what that means, but I'm nodding.
It means it's designed to be bought, not used.
And that's the hidden design philosophy across so many product categories. Let's talk about the paint marker specifically, because we've covered the technology before, but the distribution angle is what matters here. The Edding 780 Industrial Paint Marker. This is a marker that can survive 400 degrees Celsius. You can get it from an industrial supplier for about $3.50. A quote-unquote heavy-duty paint marker at Home Depot? $7.99. And its valve system is weaker. It fails at around 150 degrees Celsius.
You're paying more than double for a product that fails at less than half the temperature.
The industrial one is refillable. The hardware store version is disposable. So the per-use cost differential is even more dramatic. But here's the thing. The industrial marker isn't on the shelf at Home Depot because Home Depot isn't optimizing for the customer who needs a marker that survives 400 degrees. They're optimizing for the customer who needs a marker right now to label some storage bins.
The hardware store is selling you a chair nobody notices they're sitting in.
And the industrial supplier is selling you a chair that needs to hold up a welder for 10 years.
The B2C friction. That's the catch, right? If these stores are so great, why isn't everyone shopping there?
Historically, the friction was real. Terrible websites, account creation requirements, minimum order quantities. You'd try to buy a box of gloves and the site would ask for your Dun and Bradstreet number. But this is changing. As of the last couple of years, Grainger and McMaster Car have genuinely consumer-friendly interfaces. McMaster Car in particular, their website is almost legendary among engineers for how good the search and filtering is. You can find a specific bolt by dimension, material, thread pitch, and coating in about 30 seconds.
I've heard engineers describe the McMaster Car website with the kind of reverence usually reserved for religious experiences.
It's earned, and they ship same day. No minimum order. You can buy one bolt for 47 cents, and they'll get it to you tomorrow. That's not a business-to-business model anymore. That's just good retail.
The barrier is awareness, not access.
The psychological barrier is that consumers assume industrial means expensive or requires a business license. The reality is, most of these places will sell to anyone. The barrier is that nobody tells you they exist. There's no Grainger commercial during the Super Bowl.
Although I would watch that commercial.
It would just be a guy holding a bolt and a phone number. Let me dig into the product tier issue, because this is where it gets interesting. There's a brand double standard that most consumers don't see.
Same brand, different product.
Same brand, completely different product. Take 3M respirators. The 3M 6000 series is what you'll find at Home Depot. The 3M 7000 series is the industrial version. They look similar. A half-face respirator is a half-face respirator. But the sealing surfaces are different. The materials are different. The industrial version uses a silicone face seal that's more durable and conforms better to your face over long wear periods. The consumer version uses a thermoplastic that's fine for an hour of painting, but gets uncomfortable after a full shift.
The industrial version costs less.
Because it's sold in volume to safety managers who know the spec and will switch suppliers if the price creeps up. The consumer version is sold to someone who buys a respirator once every 3 years and doesn't know there's a difference. So 3, M can charge more for the lower tier product because the buyer is less price sensitive and less informed.
That is a deeply cynical business strategy, and I respect it.
It's not even cynical from their perspective. It's market segmentation. Different channels, different buyers, different price points. But from the consumer's perspective, you're paying more for less because you're shopping in the wrong aisle of the economy.
The wrong aisle of the economy is my new band name.
The restaurant supply parallel is even starker. A commercial Vitamix blender, the kind that's in every smoothie shop, costs about $400 at a restaurant supply store. The consumer Vitamix with the same motor? $650 at a retail kitchen store. The difference is the base design, the controls, and the warranty structure. The commercial one has a simpler interface and a shorter warranty because restaurants don't need a 10-year warranty. They need it to work for 8 hours a day and be repairable.
You're paying a $250 premium for a warranty you probably won't use, and a touchscreen you definitely don't need.
The consumer one isn't repairable in the same way. When the motor burns out, you're buying a new blender. The commercial one is designed to be serviced.
That's the thing about industrial gear. It's designed to be maintained, not replaced.
Which is a whole different design philosophy. Consumer products are increasingly designed as sealed units. When they fail, you throw them away. Industrial products are designed with the assumption that someone will need to replace a bearing or a seal or a gasket. The product is built around that serviceability.
That feeds into the economic model. If you're selling to a factory, they need to know they can keep the thing running. If you're selling to a homeowner, they'll just buy a new one.
Let me give you another concrete example with sheet pans. A commercial aluminum sheet pan from a restaurant supply store costs about $12. It's heavy gauge aluminum. It won't warp in a 500 degree oven. It'll last 10 years in a home kitchen, longer probably. A quote unquote professional sheet pan from Sur La Table, $35, and it warps.
Warping is the sheet pan's way of telling you it's given up.
The commercial one doesn't warp because it's designed for a convection oven running all day. The consumer one warps because it's designed to look professional in your kitchen and maybe get used for holiday cookies.
This is the same pattern across every category. You're paying for the illusion of quality rather than quality itself.
The illusion is expensive to manufacture. The consumer version has nicer packaging. It has a brand story. It has a retail markup that covers the cost of shelf space in a brightly lit store. The industrial version comes in a plain brown box and sits on a utility shelf in a warehouse. All of that cost goes into the product instead of the presentation.
Let's get practical. If someone listening wants to start buying this way, where do they even begin?
First step. Before buying any tool or consumable for a project, search for the industrial version. Use terms like industrial grade and then the product name or the brand name plus industrial supply. You'll often find the same brand's higher tier product for less money, just through a different channel.
The specific stores to check?
McMaster Car is the gold standard. No minimum order, same day shipping if you order by 7 p.m. Eastern, and their website is a pleasure to use. Grainger has over 300 physical branches with will call counters. You can walk in, buy a single item, and walk out. No account needed at most locations. Fastenal is another one. They're everywhere, and while some branches are more B2B oriented, many will sell to walk-in customers.
What about the restaurant supply side?
Restaurant supply stores are even more accessible. Most major cities have a restaurant depot or similar. Some require a day pass or a free membership, but they're open to the public, and the deals are absurd. Commercial sheet pans, mixing bowls, knives, cutting boards, small wares, all designed for commercial use, all cheaper than the consumer equivalents.
The Costco effect, but for tools and gear.
That's exactly the mental model. Think of hardware stores as convenience stores for projects. Industrial supply stores are the Costco for tools. Better value if you can buy in reasonable quantities. And for consumables, especially markers, respirator cartridges, gloves, safety glasses, buying in bulk from an industrial supplier means the per unit cost is often 30 to 50% less and the quality is higher.
There's a specific strategy there. If you know you're going to use something repeatedly, buy the industrial version in quantity, and you're set for years.
The shelf life is often better. Like I mentioned with the respirator cartridges, the industrial supplier moves inventory faster, so what you're buying is fresher. That matters for anything with a limited shelf life. Adhesives, sealants, cartridges, even batteries.
The inventory turnover is actually a quality feature.
It's a hidden quality feature that nobody talks about. A hardware store might have the same box of respirator cartridges on the shelf for 18 months. An industrial supplier is restocking every few weeks because they're supplying factories. You're getting a fresher product.
That's the kind of detail that makes me realize how much of consumer retail is just theater.
A lot of it is theater. The brightly lit aisles, the helpful signage, the weekend workshop displays, that's all designed to make you feel confident about buying a product that's often mediocre. The industrial supply store doesn't bother with any of that. The lighting is fluorescent. The signage is functional. Nobody's there to help you pick out the right shade of paint. But the products are better.
It's the anti-experience experience. And honestly, that's refreshing.
There's something honest about it. The store isn't trying to sell you a feeling. It's selling you a bolt. Here's the bolt. It meets this spec. It costs this much.
What are the categories where this makes the biggest difference? Where should someone start?
Safety gear is number one. Respirators, cartridges, gloves, eye protection, hearing protection. The price differential is dramatic and the quality differential is real. A pair of safety glasses from an industrial supplier might cost $3 and meet ANSI Z87. The same standard at a hardware store? $10 for a pair that's styled to look like sports sunglasses but has the same protection rating.
You're paying $7 for the styling.
You're paying $7 for the illusion that you look cool while doing home improvement.
Which, to be fair, nobody does.
Category 2 is consumables. Markers, tapes, adhesives, lubricants, cutting fluids. The industrial versions are almost always better and cheaper per unit. Category 3 is fasteners. If you need bolts, screws, nuts, washers, McMaster Car sells them individually for pennies. Home Depot sells them in blister packs of 4 for $4.
The blister pack premium.
The packaging costs more than the product inside. Category 4 is cutting tools, drill bits, saw blades, utility knife blades. The industrial versions use better steel, hold an edge longer, and cost about the same per unit when you buy in reasonable quantities.
Category 5 is probably the one that surprises people most. Kitchen stuff.
Restaurant supply stores are the cheat code for kitchen gear. Knives, pots, pans, sheet pans, mixing bowls, storage containers, small appliances. All designed for commercial use, all cheaper than the consumer equivalents. A Volrath mixing bowl from a restaurant supply store is indestructible and costs half what a fancy brand mixing bowl costs at a kitchen store.
It doesn't have a celebrity chef's name stamped on it.
Which is probably why it costs half as much. You're not paying for the endorsement.
The celebrity chef endorsement is the culinary equivalent of paying extra for a worse product.
In many cases, yes. The celebrity chef isn't using that pan in their restaurant kitchen. They're using the commercial version from the restaurant supply store. The pan with their name on it is a licensing deal.
The circle of life.
Let me circle back to something specific that I think illustrates the whole dynamic. The 3M 6000 versus 7000 series respirator comparison. Same parent brand. The 6000 series at Home Depot, that's the consumer version. Thermoplastic face seal. The 7000 series, that's the industrial version. Silicone face seal. The silicone is more comfortable, more durable, and provides a better seal over long periods.
The price difference?
The 7000 series half face piece is about 15 to 20% less expensive through an industrial supplier than the 6000 series is through a hardware store. You're getting a better respirator for less money. The only reason to buy the 6000 series is that you didn't know the 7000 series existed.
Which is the whole thesis of this episode in one product comparison.
It really is. And the thing is, 3M isn't hiding this. The product pages are public. The specs are public. The pricing is public. The information asymmetry is entirely about awareness. Nobody tells consumers that there's a better version available through a different channel.
Because the consumer channel is more profitable for 3M.
Significantly more profitable. Higher margins, less demanding customers, more brand loyalty. The industrial buyer will switch suppliers over a 2% price increase. The consumer buyer doesn't even know there are other suppliers.
How does someone actually walk into a Grainger for the first time without feeling like they're trespassing?
This is the practical question. First, find a Grainger branch near you. They have over 300 in the You Go to the Will Call counter. Tell them what you need. They'll ask if you have an account. You can say no, you're paying with a card. They'll sell to you. It's that simple.
No secret handshake.
No secret handshake. For McMaster Car, it's even easier. Go to the website, search for what you need, add it to your cart, no account required beyond basic shipping information. They'll ship it same day.
For restaurant supply.
Search for restaurant supply store plus your city. Some chains like Restaurant Depot require a day pass, which is free and takes 2 minutes to get at the front desk. Others are open to the public with no registration at all. Walk in, grab a flat cart, and start shopping.
The flat cart is the universal symbol of serious purchasing intent.
It really is. A flat cart at a restaurant supply store means you're not messing around.
What about the psychological shift? Because I think there's something deeper here about how people think about where they're allowed to shop.
This is the part I find interesting. There's a class and identity component to where people shop. Hardware stores are designed to feel welcoming to homeowners. Industrial supply stores are designed to feel efficient for professionals. The aesthetics signal who belongs there. But the signal is fake. Anyone with a credit card belongs there.
It's like the first time you realize you can just walk into a hotel lobby and use the bathroom. Nobody's going to stop you.
The barrier is entirely in your head, and once you cross it, you realize you've been overpaying for worse products your entire adult life.
There's a resentment phase.
There's absolutely a resentment phase. You'll walk through Home Depot after discovering industrial supply and feel like you're being fleeced, which, in a sense, you are.
The hardware store isn't evil. It's just optimized for a different buyer.
And to be fair, hardware stores are great for certain things. If you need a single 2x4 and a box of screws for a Saturday project, Home Depot is perfect. The convenience is real. But if you're buying consumables you'll use repeatedly, or tools you want to last, or safety gear you're actually depending on, the industrial channel is almost always better.
The rule of thumb is, consumables and safety gear go industrial. One-off convenience purchases, hardware store is fine.
That's the heuristic. And the more you do this, the more you'll start to notice which products in your life are consumer tier and which are industrial tier. It becomes a kind of lens for seeing the economy differently.
The red pill of retail.
The red pill of retail is a very funny phrase, but yes.
Let's talk about where this is going. The prosumer trend has been building for years. More people doing serious DIY. More people working from home and investing in their home setups. More people caring about tool quality. Is the line between consumer and industrial retail going to blur?
It's already blurring. The rise of online industrial marketplaces, Zoro, Amazon Business, is making industrial supply accessible to consumers in a way it never was before. Zoro in particular has a consumer-friendly interface with no account requirements and competitive pricing on industrial brands. Amazon Business lets anyone sign up and access bulk pricing tiers.
The traditional industrial suppliers are noticing.
They have to. Grainger's website redesign over the last few years was clearly aimed at a broader audience. McMaster Car's continued investment in their web interface, which is one of the best e-commerce experiences on the internet, suggests they know their customer base is expanding beyond traditional industrial buyers.
The question is whether hardware stores respond by improving their quality tiers, or whether the bifurcation just widens.
I think the bifurcation widens. Hardware stores are structurally optimized for the convenience buyer. Their real estate costs, their staffing model, their inventory strategy, it's all built around high margin, low volume sales to consumers who need something right now. They can't compete with industrial suppliers on quality or price without fundamentally changing their business model.
The hardware store becomes even more of a convenience store, and the industrial channel becomes the default for anyone who's paying attention.
That's my prediction. The next 5 years, we'll see industrial supply become mainstream consumer shopping for a certain type of buyer. The person who used to buy everything at Home Depot will start splitting their spending, convenience purchases at the hardware store, series purchases through industrial channels.
The people who figure this out early get better stuff for less money.
That's the whole game. Knowing where to shop is worth more than any coupon.
To pull this together, 3 actionable things someone can do this week. What are they?
First, before buying any tool or consumable, search for the industrial version. Use terms like industrial grade or the brand name plus industrial supply. Compare the price and the spec. You'll be surprised how often the industrial version is better and cheaper. Second, check McMaster Car and Grainger for price comparison on anything you'd normally buy at Home Depot. Even if you end up buying locally, knowing the industrial price gives you a benchmark. You'll see how much the convenience markup really is. Third, for consumables you use regularly, markers, respirator cartridges, gloves, safety glasses, buy in bulk from an industrial supplier. The per unit cost will be 30 to 50% less, the quality will be higher, and you won't have to think about repurchasing for a long time.
That's concrete. That's doable.
The mental model shift is the biggest thing. Stop thinking of hardware stores as the definitive source for quality gear. They're convenience stores for projects. Industrial supply is where you go when you want something that actually works.
The convenience store for projects is going to stick with me.
It's the frame that makes everything else click. Once you see it that way, the pricing makes sense, the product selection makes sense, the whole experience makes sense.
Next time you need a marker, a respirator, or a chef's knife, try the industrial supply store first. Your wallet and your project will thank you.
If nothing else, you'll get to experience the quiet satisfaction of buying something that was designed to work rather than designed to be sold.
Which is its own kind of luxury.
The luxury of competence.
Before we wrap, I believe we have a visitor.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In the 1780s, explorers on the Kamchatka Peninsula documented a strange relationship between the carnivorous sundew plant and a local species of ant. The ants would deliberately feed small insects to the sundew's sticky leaves, then harvest the nutrient-rich dew that the plant secreted in response. The ants were farming the plant.
The ants domesticated a carnivorous plant.
I'm going to need a minute with that one. That's going to sit with me.
This has been My Weird Prompts, produced by the ever-patient Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find every episode at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you found this useful, leave us a review. It helps other people discover the show. Next time you're about to buy something at a hardware store, take 30 seconds and check the industrial price. You might just change how you shop forever.
I'm Corn.
I'm Herman Poppleberry. See you next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.